In this second part, we're going to do both Exodus and Romans, so that we have more time for the Gospel, which is, as I mentioned, quite long. The people are in the desert. They're going from Egypt to the Promised Land, and they run out of water. Now, that's pretty serious in the desert, as you may know if you've ever been there. I remember once at the École Biblique, we all went out to the desert, archaeological trip. And there was one fellow there, a Spaniard, and we were all told, bring a, you know, your cask, your thermos bottle or whatever it is, of water. Yeah, I don't need that. Well, we got out there. That poor guy, after a while, we'd go stop at a spot and there'd be a little stone ledge coming out. He'd try to get his head under it to get out of the heat. We were all giving him a little water, you know. And finally we came to a spot where we could fill up again and we could help the guy out. But he never did that again. You have to run out of water in the desert to know the basis of this complaining. They shouldn't have complained anyway. But at least you can appreciate that they were thirsty. So the text goes, and the people got thirsty there for water, and they complained against Moses, and they said, Lamaze, which is a phrase we still use in modern Hebrew. You know, what's this for? You know, you brought us out from Egypt to kill us out here, and our sons, our children, and our cattle. In thirst? I don't know how the translation... Sometimes in English we're much more polite than the sacred text, I must say. why did you ever make us leave Egypt? Was it just to have us die here of thirst with our children and our livestock? So Moses, Vayitzak Moshe, to Adonai, saying, what am I going to do with this people? A little while longer... and they will stone me. They'll kill me. Not a very good thing to do in the middle of the desert is kill your leader. How are you going to get back? How are you going to go forward? They're not bright. But they are thirsty. Now, this is a rhythm you find throughout the whole of the desert wandering. They sin, and Moses intercedes, and it gets fixed. But on a lesser scale, as we saw once before when talking about theological background for original sin. Other times, they complain. The word that they use for complain shows up again in John 6. And they murmured, who is this man who says he can, you know? John says, see, it's the same people. And so are we. And so are we. Did you never complain in your whole life? About your life, about the way God's leading your life? I doubt it. You know? Oh, why did you have this happen? Of course, with less faith in a culture that doesn't even turn to God, we may just complain without even complaining to God. At least they're doing that much. So you got to give them trouble, you know, credit for that. Okay. A little while, they're going to stone me. And Adonai said to Moshe, pass before me and have the people pass before me and take with you wait a minute, I guess we don't have that. Well, I'm still going to read it. Yeah, you don't. Well, maybe they do. Pass before me. Let's go over there in front of the people. Hold in your hand your staff with which you struck the river, the Nile. You had authority over the Nile with that staff. Now get ready to use it to get water, okay? So he took the staff, and take the elders of the people with you so they can see what happens, okay? I will be standing there in front of you on the rock in Horeb. I want to have fun trying to figure out whether Horeb and Sinai are the same place. Seems to be. So go over there in front of me and take your staff and some of the elders, and I will be standing there. Strike the rock, and water will flow from it for the people to drink. This Moses did in the presence of the elders of Israel. The place was called Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" Did you ever do that? You know, where's God? My parish is falling apart. Everybody's complaining against me. Where's God? That's a legitimate cry, provided you're not angry, but just sorry. What happened to God? Where is he? I need him. So you see, now this incident, or one like it, is found other places in the Old Testament, like Numbers 20. The same notion of running out of water, which they may have done more than once. And this is the remembrance. Why do we have it today? Because the gospel is going to be all about water. And if we're thirsty for this water, are we thirsty for the water of the Holy Spirit? We can't get along without this water and we'll complain. What about if we don't know the Holy Spirit? If we're not aware of him moving in our spirit, guiding us, consoling us, correcting us? Just a friend who wants to bring us through the cross to the glory of the resurrection. What if we don't know him? That's what it means to be hungry, to be thirsty, you see, for water. Now, so that's this famous rhythm. And you see Moses as a savior. They complain at another time, right? And the seraph come and eat and bite them. And they're dying. So now they get religion. And they come to Moses. Help us. So Moses goes and prays. You see the power of intercession? Suppose you're in a parish or you're the father of a family and the whole thing is blowing up. Go intercede. That's your job. Go intercede. And God will hear you. God will hear you. Don't give up. You know, you can go and preach in some parishes and you look out there and you say, at least 30% of these people are reprocessing this in terms of the New Age. They're not hearing the gospel. They're hearing New Age and they're reprocessing this stuff. And that's dangerous. You've got to intercede for them. Or in your family, they're fighting. Or one of the children wants to go off and marry somebody who's been divorced and never got it cleared up. You intercede. You have to pray. And this is what Moses is doing, okay? Now, what I'm going to do is move into Romans and start it now and then finish it in the next section. This is a marvelous text. I want to talk about Romans for a little while, if that's all right. I'm doing it because getting Romans straight is more important right now than any more work on the Old Testament background on the theme of water. Romans, there's a text in Romans 1:18. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for all who believe, Jew first, then Greek. So what is the gospel? Words? It's the power of God. See, it means the good news. I think I've probably used this example before. Suppose you were rooting for Green Bay in the Super Bowl, but you missed the game. You know, I say, listen, I got good news. Green Bay won. Oh, that's good news. If they won, the words aren't the good news. The reality is the good news. So when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he doesn't mean, I'm not ashamed of these words. I'm not ashamed of the death and resurrection of the second person of the Trinity. Out of incredible love, identification with us, to set us free from sin, and to bring us to eternal life. That's what I'm not ashamed of. So he says that this gospel, this reality, is the power of God, eis soterion, unto salvation, for everyone who believes, Jew first, then Greek. So now he starts with the second part of his phrase, unbelief. So chapters 1 to 4 is unbelief, and it starts Greek first, then Jew. And then the solution in chapters 3 and 4. So 1, 2, 3, and 4 are about faith. And the example is Abraham in 4, right? Okay. Then that ends section part 1 of the letter. Part 2 starts now with chapter 5. Starts off, all right then, having been justified or being justified from faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've dealt with justification. Now I'm going to talk about the power of God. But I'm going to talk about it after the introduction, which is our text for this Sunday. I'm going to talk about it negatively first. Three freedoms. Freedom from death, chapter 5, the 12 to 21, the second part. Freedom from law, the whole of chapter, freedom from death, freedom from sin, chapter 5, freedom from death, chapter 6, freedom from law, chapter 7. That doesn't mean we're libertines, it just means a regime of law that is oppressive. Chapter 8 is the chapter that he's been going for since he started the letter. It's there that he talks about the power of God unto salvation.